I think that a lot of people do know some Aboriginal people that just don't realise it.
You look at my mum, she's English. You look at my dad, he's Aboriginal. And look at me, I'm a bit in between. I haven't got the flat nose anymore. I sometimes wish I did.
You know, just because I'm Aboriginal doesn't mean I have a flag tattooed to my forehead.
Like, most of them call me Auntie Lynn, and I'm happy to be their auntie, even though that I'm not.
Because I am Aboriginal because of my DNA, not because of my lingo.
Meet the Mob, a podcast from 1233 ABC Newcastle with Jill Emberson. Subscribe at abc.net.au/Newcastle.
If you were in The Hunter back in the late 80s, following the Charlestown Butcher Boys, chances are you would have seen Craig Hammond running on the field as a winger. Now, that's a long time ago. I'm with him now, many years later, at his job, his workplace at the Family Action Centre at the University of Newcastle. Craig, take me back to those days of you running on for the Butcher Boys.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. I mean, had a lot of good times out there at Central with the boys. Made the semi-finals. A lot of the Aboriginal boys come up from the Newcastle All Blacks from Second Division, from 85 side. Myself, Warren Shillings, Uncle Leon Hammond, Edward Smith, Robbie Briggs. I think Ray Kelly was there at the time too. Oh, there was a host of us there, and yeah, thoroughly enjoyed my time at Central. I still support them. Go back there, watch them. Loved the Butcher Boys. My son played some junior years there. And
that was the 80s. You were a much younger guy then, playing for the Butcher Boys. But how did you get to the Butcher Boys in the first place, Craig? Because you're not originally from Newcastle.
No, I'm not originally from Newcastle. Born and bred, Maori boy. Grew up on the mission, the bottom mission. Yeah, I first started playing with the Mighty Maori Boomerangs, local Aboriginal rugby league side, famous side. But I ended up down here 85, followed my brother down here and my other brother. We started playing basketball. There was a Aboriginal basketball comp going in around New South Wales. Travel to Dubbo, Sydney, Melbourne, Canberra.
So it was actually basketball that got you out of Moree to Newcastle, not football?
No, basketball got me down here, and yeah, it was a scary place, first Newcastle, you know, coming from, you know, such a small town, Moree, and then coming down here, you got to catch buses, and it takes this long to get from A to B, you know, and Moree, you could walk that far, and you're there, but down here, you got to have money to catch buses and trains, and yeah, sort of, it was a while ago.
Another world. How successful were you in your basketball days?
My brother was probably better than me, but we sort of just, you know, we enjoyed it. And at that time in Newcastle, had a very strong Aboriginal community, but they still have one today. We had a lot of teams playing basketball at Old Broadmeadow Basketball Stadium, travelling from, you know, out Toronto way. Arnie Glaw Smith used to play.
Basketball was quite the thing.
It was a thing back in the early 80s, yeah. Enjoyed it. We were playing a couple of nights a week, catching a train from Toronto.
Is it still big?
Oh, basketball's still big, but I think it's faded away within the group that were around when we were playing then.
I'm guessing that some of those young folk that came down from Moree to play in things like the basketball may have made their way back to Moree, but you didn't. What kept you here?
What kept me here? Yeah, well, I mean, football kept me here. I was living at the Durngarling Hostel at the time in 86, and my uncle signed up with Charlestown along with Warren, with Chillow and that, and he pulled up one night there and he said, come out and you want to have a run and play out of Charlestown Central. And I went, okay then. So I went out and, yeah, signed up and spent 6 years at the club.
You actually signed a contract?
Yeah, it was a bit... bit scary at first because I played all my junior football and my first years of senior football with the Maori Boomerangs, where you get a pat on the back, good game, cuz, see you next week, come to training.
No contracts.
No contract, no money, hand your Guernsey back in after the game, that sort of stuff. And, you know, and then to come down in, actually be offered money to play football. And I said, wow. Yeah, I said, money? He said, yeah, God, you're lucky to get a free drink back home. The money was great.
So a great sporting start to you as a young man. And I see you're a tall guy, so, you know, you would have been a pretty fast, I imagine, were you?
I don't like to say much, but people say I was pretty quick for running around on the wing there. That's from, you know, running away from kangaroos, chasing kangaroos in the bush in Moree there.
Are you serious?
I tell my sons that yarn that I used to go and catch kangaroo and that, but really just went up to fish shop and bought feed. Never caught a kangaroo in my life. Yeah, they're a bit old now, and they realise them yarns that I used to tell them about when I grew up in Moree there, they're a little bit twisted.
What was it like then, growing up on a mission in Moree?
Nah, it was great. I tell my boys, I said I wouldn't change a thing. Dad worked hard, Mum raised us. I got three older brothers, I got six younger sisters, I got one younger brother. Plus, we had extended families, cousins staying with us. So, went fishing. The golf club just up the road. When we wanted money, we'd sneak up, go looking for old golf balls in the water, and take some golf balls that no one could see us take. And you know, we go up and sell them to the pro shop and get 20 cents a ball, you know. And Moree was a hard, tough place to live, a lot of racism, you know, and our outlet was sort of, as a community, you know, supporting the Moree Boomerangs. And even though I haven't lived in Moree for a while, you know, Boomerangs are still my number one side to knock out. I support them, always will.
On Meet the Mob on 1233 ABC Newcastle, I'm with Craig Hammond. He's the Indigenous Programs Officer at the Family Action Centre. Your work here at the Family Action Centre at the University of Newcastle means that you're working with dads in communities in this area, but it's also sent you around the country. Have you ever been and worked and talked about what you do, like right inside those areas of Australia where there's really far more traditional ways of life being, you know, lived?
Yeah, I've been very lucky with my job. I travelled, you know, virtually all over the east coast of Australia, through Northern Territory, Tiwi Islands, you know. Been over to Kununurra workshops and talking. It's a new sort of phase that we're getting into, you know. You got this big thing with men's sheds popping up all over the place. And it's all new to a lot of people, that why do we want to get in dads involved? Why do we need to talk to them? So then that's when we come in and say, well, because the work that we've been doing in the early years is about, well, dads are important, and creating that environment, making it male friendly. I've went into in the territory there, a couple of communities. That's a totally different environment. It's all new for me, where English is the second or third language. So am I trying to talk English when, what are you talking about? You know, and...
Is this right in Central Australia?
Yeah, Central Australia, yeah. You know, where they're all talking their language. And that's hard for me. And it was a good learning curve. Just because I'm Aboriginal and black, that don't mean I'm accepted in that community. I'm not saying I wasn't the right person. I'm just saying the timing wasn't right. There's a lot of groundwork that sort of they had to lay before I got there to talk about what I was going to talk about. No one was going to listen to me coming in Uzi, you know, coming in our community telling us what to do. I could probably go home to Moree or somewhere in New South Wales where I know I feel comfortable and run a program or talk about stuff. But when you're talking about communities that still live a lot of traditional ways, it's really hard.
What was it like as an Aboriginal person to be turning up in an Aboriginal community and not knowing the language they speak?
It was sad. It was sad because I didn't have that opportunity to speak that language, my language, Kamilaroi. I didn't have that. I didn't feel angry towards that mob. I just felt sad for myself that here I am in my own country and I can't talk language.
You look like you could fit in, but you actually don't.
I couldn't fit in. I couldn't because I can't talk their language and I can't communicate the way they communicate. You know? You still have that connection as Aboriginal people, but then there's that, not barrier, but there's something missing, and that's the language and that's the culture that was taken away from me. It's hard. You know, I was called a white fella.
You're not very white to my eye.
No, one of the kids said, you speak language? I went, no. I said, I speak English. Oh, you're a white fella then.
How did that feel?
I said, are you called a white? I'm darker than you. You know, and they looked at me and they said, he can't speak language. You know, I seen the funny side of it. But then also I felt the hurt side of it too, that here I am, you know, can't speak language.
So that was a huge experience for you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, big learning curve for me because I didn't grow up, you know, didgeridoo and lap-laps, and that's the you know, assumption that a lot of non-Aboriginal people that aren't Aboriginal people, that we all talk lingo, and people assume that because I'm black I can play a didgeridoo, but I can't. Because I'd never taught, I'd never learned, you know.
It must be a funny space to occupy in your own head, to look like you could be a traditional Aboriginal man walking out of the bush with a kangaroo over your shoulder.
Yeah. I was only watching David Gulpel doing Walkabout, movie made in 71, the other day on NITV. And he was only 17. It'd be unreal to do what he was doing. And when he seen him coming, I said, that's my brother there. Looks just like him. But, you know, I mean, you can't miss what you didn't have. I can't feel any pain of missing it when I didn't have it in the first place. You know, if it was ripped away from me personally, I'd probably, you know, feel the pain, but it wasn't ripped away from me. It was ripped away hundreds of years ago from my ancestors.
There's still some ripples there, though.
Oh, yeah, there's ripples there, you know. I mean, my old nan died. She was 89 when she died, my nan. I knew she could talk Kamilaroi, but like a lot of it, they weren't allowed to teach it and pass it on. You know, you passed it on, you got flogged, you got hit. You know, and then when you look at my nan and pop, they needed a permission note to get off to go in town. My mum needed a note to go in town. Us living today, how I grew up, we had it tough and hard through racial issues, but we also should be grateful because we haven't got us as tough as our mum and dads and our nan and pops and our great nan and pops. We've got it a lot easier than I tend not to throw that racial card in there because I'm black, and I'm thinking, well, I'm lucky in a lot of sense compared to what my mum and my dad and nan and pop went through.
Craig Hammond with me on Meet the Mob on 12:33. Craig, you said you saw David Gulpelil on NITV. It's been going for a year now, Indigenous television. Is it always on at your place?
Oh, it's love it. It's awesome. And it's funny. I went down to the local bowling club near home at the ham raffles last night. I tried to win a ham for Christmas, but I never. Behind me, there was this group of white people that I know at the club, and they were talking how great our NITV was. And then a few of them didn't know what NITV was, but two of them said, NITV, National Indigenous Television. You know, David Gulpel. No, that Storm Boy. They said, you've got to watch it. You know, and they're football fanatics, sport fanatics. You know, and they watch the knockout, they're in the rugby league knockout that NITV screens.
Thanks for being my guest on Meet the Mob. It's great to meet you. Are you a listener to Meet the Mob, Craig?
Yeah, most of them.
So you reckon everyone's, you know, telling the full story of themselves or dressing it up a little bit?
Oh, we always dress it up a bit. We always do. You got to dress it up. But, you know, most of probably 95% of it's all true.
That'll do me.
That'll do me. Thank you.
You've been listening to a 12:33 ABC Newcastle podcast. For more, visit our website at abc.net.au/Newcastle.